welcome to the TKB show. It's your boy Trey, followed with my guys KJ and Billy. We're back by popular demand. I know it's been a while, but we're back and we're excited. So today we're going to talk about each individual season. We all work with different basketball teams. So first, I would like KJ to speak to us about how Lamar men's basketball been doing and what are the steps to reach it to where they want to be.
All right, cool. Appreciate you, Trey. Right now, we are 5-4. We had a really good win against a very good Rice team yesterday at home, 73-60. We beat them really good, basically by just going on the inside. You know, they're a really good shooting team. They really look to shoot the three on the first option. And they put up a lot of shots just like we scouted them to be. But our inside game won the game for us on the boards and just told and defensively. We held them to 60 points, which is big time because their average points are over 60 every game. So that's big time for us yesterday. Some other good wins that we've had against a good Utah Valley team at Utah Valley. We made a lot of our free throws, which contributed to it, especially towards the end of the game. We ran them in transition. Their guards love to go, one-on-one ISO, so we had to guard the ball one-on-one. So we did that fairly well, and it eventually worked out for us, especially when we grab rebounds on the boards. Both of those games, our bigs came up big because, we work on post moves every day, and they utilize those moves, and to the fact that they killed them on the boards is another good sign. And we also beat a good Mount St. Mary's team at home. At the time, we played both Mount St. Mary's and Utah Valley in this thing called the BBN Showcase, which included teams such as Kentucky, UAB, us, Mount St. Mary's, and Utah Valley. And so we played Mount St. Mary's at home, Utah Valley on the road. We went to Kentucky November 24th. Unfortunately, we lost that one. And we went to UAB on the 26th of November and unfortunately dropped that one. We were held to, I think a season low of 48 points that game, which is tough. But, we just got to make shots. Two of our other wins have come from, two NAIA teams who played each other the other night. Arlington Baptist and Champion Christian. They both play in the NAIA division, and so they weren't Division I teams, but we still look to do the things that we were on the season or we're supposed to. And our losses, like I said, Kentucky, Duquesne was another loss that we took. And we went all the way to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and. I think the cold air may have got us. I'll use that as an excuse. But we went. They love to run the transition. We just got caught up, and we missed free throws, and we didn't guard the ball in transition as well as we needed to. So we lost that one. We lost to a good Texas Southern team last Saturday. I think it was the 30th, basically by just not making free throws. I mean, we were in the 50s when 50 percentiles shooting free throws. And like I said, Kentucky and UAB are also two games. But we're looking to increase our efficiency, especially on the offensive end, and keep up the intensity on the defensive end. Right now we're one of the best defensive teams in the conference. Just because we can guard you one on one, and we can guard the inside as well, and we can guard the perimeter. So we're looking to keep up the defensive intensity, kind of step up our offensive execution, because we still have you can play defense as well as you can, but you got to make shots on the offensive end to get points on the board. So we're looking to do that and increase our free throw percentage. We were 76%. We're looking to get at least 80 to 85% of the games. So we play our next game. We play non-Division I team on Wednesday called Southern New Orleans. And then December 14th, which is next Saturday, which is our last non-conference game, we go to TCU and play them. We're looking to get an upset against them.
That's going to be a good big,
yeah, a good Big 12 team that we can potentially, you know, run the floor, grab rebounds, make shots, get a dub. So our season is going fairly well. It could be better, but it also could be a lot worse. So I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking about the Lamar men's basketball program, what is one thing that Coach Price, what is one thing that he, like, how do I put this? What is one thing that he, like, emphasizes, like, preach to the guys?
One thing that he emphasizes will be definitely anything defense. Anything defense. Where he likes to involve, you know, defense in everything that we do, like in our drills in practice. When we're preparing for games, he keeps defense a priority, especially, you know, guarding the ball, staying in the gaps, you know, and grabbing rebounds, finishing the defense with the rebound. We have these things called kills, which is three stops in a row. I'm sure every team in the NCAA does that. But, you know, that's when I first came to Lamar. I didn't know anything about it. And so that really stood out to me. So being tough enough to, keep the offense from scoring with the 30-second period, through a 30-second period, and finishing the defense off with a rebound and then running in transition score off our defense, you know, turning defense into offense. And so that, and, you know, of course, you know, free throws, we've been struggling with free throws lately, but we're getting better day to day. So defense and free throws have been the main points we've been preaching this season. So yep, defense.
Good. Billy, tell us about your coaching journey, your first time coaching. Well, not your first time. Well, I guess your first time with, like, a school team. How was that?
Oh, man, you know, coaching at Legacy, it's been different because it's not UIL, it's TAP. So it's a whole different playing spectrum. But we're sitting at 5-7. We've had two tournaments so far. We came in second place in one, got third over the weekend. But, you know, we've been doing pretty great in my understanding, because it's a new offense, new players, new staff. We're all still getting acclimated with each other. But, I mean, some games we were down 20-plus, and then we come back and lose by one. Or we've been down 15 or 10 and come back and win by double digits. But one thing I've noticed on the high school level is that when a new coach is in, you can see what the program last year was lacking, and you really try to build off it. Because this year we're just trying to build off the fundamentals. Like, we know that our guys aren't fundamentally strong, and that's what, you know, hurts us in the game. I know before we started recording, I told KJ we split games over the weekend, and we could have gone 2-0 for the weekend and got third place or second place, really, I think. But we didn't box out when it was, you know, in crunch time, and we did intentional fouls, and they missed all four shots, but we let them get second chance points, and that's what killed us. But it's nice seeing the transition from college to high school, because you know the bigger picture to help younger guys get into the groove of making it to the next level. But, you know, we still got some rough edges that we got to smooth out, but we're doing great. We have a point guard, Kenny Andrews, who's captain. He's a sophomore, and he plays like a veteran. He can attack. He's very vocal, which I like about him. And then we got my boy Alex Potter. He's a junior. Yeah. 6'5", 315, man. I've never worked with a guy his size before in high school.
Wow. My bad, Billy. I don't want to interrupt you or anything.
No, you're good.
This past week, I went to go see Legacy play a team with, I want to say, crosstown rival Kelly, which is, you know, both schools are in Beaumont. You know, that's where we live. And it was a great game. Was it this past week, Billy? This past Tuesday, where I went to come watch Kelly?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and it was a good game. I mean, Kelly was up. I mean, unfortunately, Legacy lost by 9, but Kelly was up, like, you know, at least 25 points. And in the third quarter, Legacy comes back, be winning by 5 for at least, you know, 5 minutes. So, you know, this is they do have a tough team over there, you know, and just from the outside looking into what they have going on and knowing all three coaches that coach on that staff there, they definitely have something good going on over there at Legacy. And it's definitely that something that people need to buy into, because, you know, sooner or later, if not this year, definitely next year, they're going to be making a run for a state championship.
Thanks. And I got a freshman, old Marshall, and he came in when we did our pre-workouts and stuff, and we're like, you're not a freshman, we're going to hold you to a higher standard. About the first 5 or 6 games, he was playing like a freshman. But that Kelly game, he was coming at it. That was a number 5, KJ.
Facts, yeah, he did.
He came off the bench and was a spark and had about 3 and-1s, and he played solid defense.
In crucial times, too. He had 3 back-to-back-to-back and ones in the third quarter, which put Legacy up and made all of his free throws.
Yep. So, you know, we got, like Coach Cooper says, like, we putting stuff in the pot, and we're just stirring it up every day, and it's cooking. But, I mean, okay. I love it. It's there. It's there. We just got to get through the threshold, but it's there.
Okay, that's good. So what is one thing that you bring to this basketball program?
Man, I think what it is for me is that where I've been and how I got there is, like, I'm open with the kids. Like, I'm vulnerable with them. And it's like I can be me. Like, yeah, I'm a coach, but at the same time, you know, I want the respect and the love on them to get them to like me. You know, I talked to Coach Kelly Graves a few weeks ago on the phone, and he said, you know, you're doing the right thing by being open with them, but always love on them, because that's what makes it, you know, that's what makes that bond tight. That's how they know that you got them, and, like, no matter what, they're going to trust you for that. So every day I practice, I tell them I love them. After every loss, I tell them I love them. After every win, I tell them I love them. I really echo that, because that's what Coach Phillips taught me. You know, love is, you know, the magnitude of all things. And I know as coaches, sometimes we get caught up in things. Like, we get caught up in the W's and trying to be better. But I know that it's always bigger than basketball. That's what I've been taught. So, nice. You know, I'm just bringing that love. And I'm not saying other coaches forget about it, because everybody shows it in a different way.
Facts.
But really, that's my main, like, focal point. I do everything for them out of love.
And here's a big thing about that, building relationships with those players while before you actually get to coach them. How I was actually talking about this to somebody that I know the other day. How can you coach a player? How can a player accept coaching from you if he or she doesn't have that relationship with you? And so, you know, different players react to coaching in different ways. And so I know that I can completely unload on this player everything I have to say. And, like, you know, in kind of an aggressive manner, without them, you know, coming at me sideways, as other people would say, or getting upset with me because I yelled at them. Whereas others, you know, I can barely say something to without them getting upset, because I know that's going to take them out of their game and everything. So building relationships with those players is a key focal point on being a successful coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just going back off of everything that you said, I think it takes time, you know, just building that
facts
relationship, you know, because it's not going to happen overnight. So it's just facts, an everyday thing.
Yep.
Trey, man, like, my bad, Billy. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm just saying, like, the more we're consistent with our actions, it lets, like, our players and staff know that we're for real about what we're doing. It's like Coach Jubert, my old high school coach, said, don't talk about it, be about it. But, like, once those kids or young men see the consistency, they buy into what we have.
Man, you said kids. You said the right word, kids. I call the players that I work with here Lamar kids, and some of them older than me. But, man, Trey, tell me about your you at AMU, man. Tell me what's going on over there.
So as of right now, we're 2-6. We took a tough loss at Michigan State to start off the season. Got a good win over D3 school, the second game of the season. Traveled over to Youngstown State, Ohio. Lost to them by 2. We beat SEMO. lost to Southern Illinois, lost to again Michigan team. He held Nas Hillman to 8 points, which is good.
Yeah.
And we lost to Binghamton, which is a good team, by 11. And we lost to Wichita State. So, yeah, that's what's going on so far with us at EMU.
Man, tell me what your head coach, Coach Castro, is over there doing to try to turn the season around.
Man, main thing that he's you know, like just emphasizing on is just defense, and just winning a rebound battle. We like to rebound and push in transition, but we got to rebound the ball first and just, you know, just guarding our yard, taking pride in defense and not letting people score on us. So that's pretty much what we're working on as of right now, just defense.
And speaking from, you know, from the outside looking in, I did watch that Michigan game, the whole game. That I was literally, you know, in the airport, going through the airport watching that game when we were coming. I think we may have been coming back from Birmingham, and I was watching, man, y'all put up a fight against those girls. That's a really good Michigan team, and for y'all to compete with them the way y'all did was not a bad job. Y'all do have a good squad over there, Trey. And, you know, everybody's going to have those slow points in the season, man. Y'all just got to find a way to grind it out and keep moving. Shoot, I mean, we was in a 3-game slump before we won yesterday afternoon. So, I mean, we coming off of a losing streak ourselves. But the thing that the coaches kept preaching to those guys is that, you know, you can either let it become a habit or you can do something about it. So instead of letting, because, you know, there's a quote, I think, by Vince Lombardi, legendary football coach, that says, winning is a habit, but unfortunately losing is. So if you allow losing to become a habit, then, you know, that's what your season's going to be about. So, you know, it's all a mind thing. You allow those girls to think like, you know, what the record shows, then that's what they're going to be about. However, if, you know, y'all know y'all can compete well in conference and get potentially a top three spot in conference, then, you know, let those girls know that, you know, y'all want to win games, y'all want to win conference. So, you know, it's going to take work. And if they're willing to put in the work, they can literally do anything that they can do. I mean, that they want to. So that's one thing. I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
Yeah, that's true. But now we welcome a special guest, Deshaun London. He's my guy. I'm in my Syracuse. He's an author for Double G Sports. He's a great guy. Welcome to the show.
What's my guy, Deshaun.
What's going on,
man? My guy, Deshaun's over there doing big things, man. We were just talking before this, man. He's a big-time guy. He does big-time things in big-time places. So, man, Deshaun, tell us a bit about what you do, man, and how you do it and where you go and everything, man. Give us a rundown, dog.
So pretty much, first I started off in my old school at Rowan, where there I was a business management major, and I knew from there my mom had called me and said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." So then I just chose that out of high school. I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I didn't even take a class in business management. I knew I didn't want to do that. But hearing that voice kind of helped me rethink it. And then I went to a workshop and saw the sports media stuff. I was like, wow, this is cool. But what a lot of people doing what I'm doing, they don't know how to get the foot in the door.
Yeah.
What I did was I just moved around at first. I just emailed a whole bunch of people. And obviously you get a lot of no's, a lot of no responses, but you still got these people who say yeah. So this all started with the MAC championship in Albany, and I had the A-10 championship at Barclays Center. And these are all unpaid. The NCAA first round women's championship, Louisville was there, Oregon. That was pretty cool. I just did game day operations, so move balls and give the mic around, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I started with Double G there. I just go out to different events. So obviously the Legends class, I've seen teams like Duke, Auburn, a whole bunch of teams. St. John's, West Virginia.
Yeah.
College football. boxing. I saw Shakur Stevenson. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So pretty much every top team, like basketball, football, soccer. I was at every Red Bull game pretty much in the summer.
Yeah.
That, and then I write for 1495 Sports. There I do more video, like previews, recaps, and stuff like that, like in front of camera.
Yeah.
And then I got what's the other one I write for? I'm starting now with All Things Hoops. That's a website with All Things Hoops. That's more, that's just basketball. And now I'm like looking into to doing like bigger stuff, I guess. So I'm starting to like move away from that now.
Man, I know I talk about this every time I talk to you, which is like on a daily basis, bro.
Yeah.
But tell me about this 2K Empire Classic, man. I know a guy that from Central Arkansas, their head manager there, and their team was in there. And so, you know, just to go to Times Square and to see those teams compete, man, tell me about that experience, man, because I'm sure it was a great one.
Thank you. So this all together is the first day with Georgetown, Texas. That was the first time seeing Georgetown, Patrick Ewing. Well, I saw him at Big East Media Day, so I guess it kind of like numbed out the second time. But
yeah,
seeing him, he's a large dude, loud. So seeing him take down a ranked Texas team, that's why I knew Georgetown was the real deal.
Yeah.
The other game, Cal, they were a little boring, but that final Duke versus Georgetown, that was the most electric game I've ever been to in my life.
Wow.
Seeing Coach K, being able to talk to him, it was like literally within inches of him, it's unreal. And obviously, seeing Coach Boeheim with you guys, it's still big, but there's nothing like Coach K.
Yeah, Coach K, it's a different man. When we were in Kentucky, bro, when we had played Kentucky,
Cal Power,
man, that first of all, that environment was electric, man. I mean,
there's nothing
that's
like
probably,
it.
Bro, that's probably the most. I'll probably never, unless you know, unless I coach at Kentucky in the future, I probably won't ever be in an environment like that again, bro. Literally every small thing that they did, their crowd went wild. It could be a deflection on a pass that went out of bounds. Their crowd's going wild. And like, you know, Calipari, he's a very energetic guy. You know, I'm sitting on the bench and they're up at this point by like 20 and he's up there. He took Tyrese Maxey out. He's like, I took you out because you're not shooting the ball. Granted, Kentucky, like, I think made like 5 threes before coming into our game. I think we were the 6th game of the season for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they only made 5 threes within those, like those games. They made 10 threes that night just because Coach Cal, you know, instilled the confidence in those guys. Like he took Maxey out, like I said. So I took you out because you're not shooting the ball. You need to shoot the ball. You're going to sit there until he is all over the place, energetic, no matter how much he is in coaching. And, you know, I think that their team fed off of his energy and the crowd's energy, bro. It was just electric, man. And to sit there and shake his hand and talk to him, I mean, it was great, man. He's one of my most admired coaches in the game right now just because of the way he coaches those guys, man. Yeah, man, I was not disappointed the other night. I mean, I was disappointed that we lost the game, bro. Like, I think we lost by 25. But at the same time, you know, it was a great experience, man. It was a great experience. And, you know, no matter what happens, I mean, I'm in this, you know, to experience it and, you know, to learn everything. But, you know, to live in the moment, dog. And it was great, man. But it's good to hear that, man. But I'm sure it was nothing like meeting Coach K, though. I'm sure it was nothing.
Also, hearing him, like obviously at that tournament, stars like Kevin Durant, Jared Allen, they were also there.
Right. Yeah.
Seeing these guys, hearing them speak, they sound just like how they are on TV. You kind of have to like put it together. Like,
yeah.
I've seen a lot of stars in my day. Dwayne Wade, Ed Reed.
Yeah.
Guy from A Practical Joker. Big time. It's funny, the guy from Practical Joker.
I and he calls us Big Tom.
I relax, man. So, the dude from Practical Jokers, I couldn't take him serious. Everything he was saying, I thought I was going to be on the show or something. I don't know what it was.
Facts. That's how it is, dog. But, you know, I'm just trying to get like Deshaun when I grow up, man.
This man, KJ. This guy, KJ. He's pretty much an assistant coach.
Bro, chill out, bro. I'm not even on that level yet.
And he's a recruiter now, so let's.
Nah, man.
Whoa.
He recruited my man Trey in his videos. He pretty much a coach now too.
Man, Trey. I mean, we're talking about it, man. Trey's
on a different
man.
Level. We can agree.
Trey's that guy, man.
I'd be telling
nobody gonna be like Trey. Trey on the poster actually. Let's not forget that
he is on a poster. Trey got a whole video, not video, photo shoot on their team's media day. Like, I'm lucky if I get a headshot that day, man. Come on, man. I'm lucky if I get to get in the team picture, dog. But apparently, you know, Trey gets his own media shoot. So
I thought Trey was on the men's team first time I met him. He had his backpack. I thought he was on the men's team.
Facts.
Had no idea.
Yeah, Trey. But nah, man, it's good to hear everything's, you know, everybody's different paths to wherever they want to go, man. It's great to hear it, man. I mean, Trey's over here coaching this girl. Deshaun's over here basically doing Stephen A. Smith's job. And Billy's over here, you know, being Coach Calipari. So, I mean, man, I guess my jokes aren't funny. My jokes weren't funny, man. I guess I said it too serious, but
No, you said it right. I had to be Calipari in the timeout the other day.
Nah, but it's good to hear everybody's past success, man. You know, being surrounded myself with a lot of people who has, you know, similar goals to what I do, man, makes me feel like I picked the right thing to do with my life.
Facts. It's important to have people like that too.
Facts, because if you don't, who's gonna push you to do better?
Exactly.
Yep.
Who you are around is who you become.
Facts.
But that reminds me today when I got that message on LinkedIn from that kid from that senior high school. I felt like Trey.
Oh, yeah. Hey, chill out.
I felt like Trey.
My boy Trey is a whole mentor.
Mm-hmm, he's a mentor.
Okay.
Exactly. I felt like Trey get
action. Man, I'm lucky.
You're not gonna talk about me. Enough with me.
I'm lucky if if the kids that I coach even recognize me walking in the grocery store, man. Man, I'm just saying, dog. Nah, bro.
No, but it was just crazy because this kid's from Minnesota. So I'm still curious how he found me.
Man, it's all about making connections. The same way that we look to other people
give us opportunity. The impact you have on other people.
Yeah.
That's extreme, but like just people in your classes or people you see every day. Might think that nothing of it, but when they see you, they probably look up to you in so many different ways.
Bro, you're just famous. That's why you sent all of this.
No, y'all too, especially as coaches.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that. Like, I have kids that I coached at camps. Like, I didn't think that I, you know, did anything for it at all. You know, just, you know, blew a whistle and coached them at camp. Yeah. I got kids messaging me on Instagram. I'm tuned in, coach. You know, sending me screenshots of them watching our games here at Lamar. Big and, job. You know, I got – chill out, Trey. And I got –
you're always on TV.
And kids telling me that I'm gonna be at this game, you know. But you know, I did a camp at SAGU, which is near Dallas. You know, we play in Fort Worth at TCU. I got kids, you know. I'm gonna pull up to the game for you, coach. I'm gonna watch you. And I had a kid today. I was sitting at the Lamar women's game today. And I guess it's a kid that I had in my group at camp. I don't remember him. I really don't. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all, bro. I don't remember this kid. I've never seen this kid before in my life. And up to my knowledge, he said, "Hey, coach, how you doing?" I'm looking around. I'm like, he was looking at me. He has his hand out. I was like, "Hey, what's up, man? You doing all right? You know, how's school going?" like I know that, like in reality, I didn't know who he was. I mean, I guess I don't remember him.
That's what happens when you're famous. But keep going.
Bro, chill out, dog. But I mean, it's just the impact, man, for them to write, because most kids aren't gonna, you know, call, you know, somebody, especially a camp coach, out like, you know, like they know him, bro. And that's what it is. That's what it's about. Building relationships, making impacts.
That reminds me.
What's up?
When Trey got bodied by his campers in the dorm room.
Bro.
Trey got clowned by 7th graders.
Jeez. Nah, we're not even going to talk about Syracuse camp and getting clowned, bro. Mm-hmm. Let's not. Bro, chill out, bro. bro, that's I gotta stay away from that one, dog. I definitely got clown, bro.
I need my blue check.
Bro, Trey, chill out, dog. We don't need to do all that.
Yeah, don't post that too. That's the crazy part.
Man, don't. I swear, Trey, if I find that on the internet anywhere, bro, I'm pulling up to Ypsilanti and we're gonna throw some, dog. I'm sorry. Bro,
your birthday next month.
Bro, I know I'm about to be famous. I guess I'm pulling up to Yip then, bro. Shit. I mean, sure.
That sound like 2 million views right there, Trey.
Bro, it's not even, bro.
Imagine the comment. Oh, God.
2 million views plus 2,000 followers.
Bro, you'll do anything for a blue check, Trey. Come on, dog.
Anything.
then that video stays in your camera roll, dog.
I don't care that much about the blue check, but yeah, it's gonna get posted. I mean,
bro, it's not gonna get posted, bro. It's not gonna get posted.
Bro, we got House of Highlights.
It's a part of the game.
It is a part of the game.
Ballers Life, follow me on Twitter.
No, they're not. No, they did not follow you on Twitter.
They follow me on Twitter. I can show you. Just like Damian Lewis follows me on Twitter. And people never believe that when I tell them that.
Bro, I didn't believe that till you showed me.
Yeah. That's my guy.
It's the same way how I got pro players follow me on Instagram, man.
Which players?
Kendrick Perkins. He Big follows time. Me on Instagram. Chill out. Tina Thompson follows me on Instagram. And this is one that plays overseas that's real big in Beaumont. Two of them that's real big here in Beaumont. They have an impact overseas, and they follow me on Instagram just because I helped one of our coaches, you know, work him out, whatever, during the summer.
Wow, you really big time,
bro. I'm not big time. I'm in Beaumont at Lamar. I'm not big time.
only got 3 blue checks following me.
I got 3. That's it.
Who? Brian Antoine from Villanova, Scotty Lewis from Florida, and Maria Taylor from ESPN.
I love Maria Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her to follow me. Shout me out.
I was on a FaceTime with her. It was a Google Hangout with me and 2 other kids.
Bro, shout me out. Tell her to give me a follow.
Bro, I DM'd her a month ago. She responded. I was talking to her for a little bit.
Bro, Maria Taylor is the best.
I'm about to DM her right now.
Bro, no, you're not. She's not going to respond to you, Trey.
she was really cool. She told me about the NABJ, National Association for Black Journalists.
Yeah.
And that's like a really cool thing, is that pretty much everyone there, like Otis Livingston, I doubt Stephen A would go to that, but like there's a whole bunch of people who made it. It's like a big networking event. And you just there with other people who look like you, so.
Yeah, that's actually a big time, bro.
Because they understand that, not even just what I'm doing, but in life, white people, they just have a natural advantage.
Yeah, so, I mean, just because of the color of the skin.
Exactly.
But that's another topic for another day. I don't want to get into political discussion because I have like pages of evidence.
Yeah, we could do that for another show because there's a lot to talk about with that.
There's a lot to talk about. But it's same thing with coaches. Like I read an article the other day that I actually retweeted on Twitter. It really wasn't the other day. It was a couple weeks ago. As a matter of fact, let me pull it up here. It was talking about how many Power 5 coaches, you know, aren't black, and you know, where how mainly how black coaches have been been used now the past years for recruiting because they know a lot of people and everything.
Bro, it is. It's even worse really, in the NFL.
Yeah. It, like, here it is right here. I just pulled it up. It says, it's heartbreaking. Black head coaches rare at the top tier of college basketball. Many of Division I athletes and assistant coaches are black, but there's a major drop-off when it comes to, you know, black head coaches. And so I was just reading that, and it was the main guy they were talking about was Jeff Capel, the head coach over at Pitt. Even though they hadn't had much success these past couple of years, but at the same time, it's sad to see, you know, the many of the black coaches that deserve head coaching jobs are still stuck in that revolving door of being assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I see it, but, you know, it's a thing that, you know, sometimes we have to work twice as hard to get, you know, half of what, you know, the majority gets.
So, exactly.
You know, but it's not anything bad. It just shows how resilient we are and how good we can respond to adversity. So, you know, like I say on a daily, I'm not tripping at all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it helps more, obviously.
Yeah.
You're right, but you just gotta work harder.
Yeah.
Especially on the application, they see Deshaun. They're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You probably don't know, like you already make pre, like, you already have, like, your thoughts on that.
Facts, so, like.
You see Billy and you see Deshaun, you're like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, you just like with me, I mean, Carlton, I've never met a white guy named Carlton my whole life. That's my name, especially since I spell it with a K instead of a C. Like, come on. They know. Yeah,
I'm... It could be either or, but me and Trey. Yeah.
But with a K though, bro.
The K.
It's
a little iffy. Yeah.
If a letter separates me from getting a job, then so be it.
Mm.
For real. But I'm not tripping at all, dog. It's, you know, it's just something we just gotta work our way out of. So, you know.
I mean, we can't really do nothing. We just gotta roll with it.
Facts.
It's like something that you don't want to really harp on because nothing's going to change.
Yeah, and it's a sensitive subject too. When people talk about it, you know, a lot of people get defensive with it too. Like, you know, especially like the wrongdoers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know, like I said, that's another topic for another day. That could really be a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But, you know. But, you know, that's one of the things, Trey. But, Trey, what you thinking, dog?
Oh, nothing. I'm just watching highlights from ESPN.
Okay. Who highlights you watching?
Gonzaga and Washington.
Washington
Gonzaga, yep.
And, y'all, a lot of these teams that I've seen, like, you know, I watch a lot of ESPN Plus, man. You know, a lot of reruns. Like, I watch this like I watch, you know, Hulu or whatever. Mm. And so ever since I got ESPN Plus at the beginning of this season, you know, a lot of these mid-major teams with these mid-major games, they're pretty good, man. Like, you know.
Hey,
like
it's the mid-major year, bro. I'm calling it.
Like, the other day I was watching Rice versus Texas A&M women's basketball. Even though Texas A&M in the mid-major, right? Texas A&M went into Rice. And Rice lost by a tip-in. Literally an offensive rebound tip-in. Rice was up that whole game, man. And, you know, the other day I was watching, I think it was St. Bonaventure and Mercer. And that was also a good game. And, you know, I've never heard of St. Bonaventure until this season when I started watching ESPN Plus.
Yeah, they're not bad. They beat us.
For real?
Yeah.
That's not,
one dude went to West Orange. That's like the town over from me. He had 19 points.
Oh, wow.
But he said he's a freshman, but he's about 23, though.
Dang. Yeah. Man, why you call him out like that?
the man stayed a freshman for like 5 years.
Jeez, how do you stay a freshman for 5 years?
Bro, all the that's what high school basketball is. Reclass here, reclass here. That's all it is.
That it is facts. You know what's his name?
That whole reclass stuff is a fraud. You got like look at Kyrie Walker. He about 27. I don't care. He's not high school.
Bro, like I was watching this high school game the other day. They had a high school tournament at our facility, and it reminded me so bad how much Texas high school basketball needs a shot clock.
Oh, definitely.
Like these kids were literally holding the ball for minutes at a time. Like they were literally
no way.
Literally offense minutes at a time, bro. Minutes at a time. I sat there and watched it. And like all they do is like just shoot threes. They'll get an offensive rebound, pass it out, run some, you know, kind of iffy set, shoot another three, get an offensive rebound, pass it back out, and just like hold it, like, you know, just for minutes at a time, bro. And like the defense probably wouldn't get a ball, like, you know, quarters in high school basketball here are 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can literally start the quarter at 8 minutes. But the defense doesn't get the ball until 5 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Bro, no way. I couldn't even watch a game like that.
Bro, it was so infuriating because, you know, at the college level, the pace is so much faster. High school is just, like, so slow and, you know, so conservative. Like,
bro, all the teams that we played in Houston so far, dude, they'll run, like, a four-out or a five-out motion.
Yep.
And they just spread the floor and shoot. And, oh, we played in one game where we had to slow the tempo down because they had two guys that were like, that if they would have done awards, they would have made like all tournament. These guys were so good. So we had to slow down the tempo a bit, but we still played our offense, but they would just spread out the floor and shoot. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I had told KJ, I told Chris, I was like, this is why we need a shot clock.
Yeah, high school basketball needs a shot clock so bad here. It's gotten to a point where, you know, they're so influenced by the league and, you know, Steph Curry shooting these threes and everything. And now all they want to do is shoot and hold the ball, shoot and hold the ball. And the defense makes it no better because they play a 2-3 zone the whole game. So, I mean, that's why, you know, I'm a big fan of the pace, go up and down, you know, fast transition, pressure defense, because, I mean, that's the only way you're going to really get results.
My bad, KJ.
You good. I said you can literally win a game 2-0 on Texas high school basketball.
Yeah.
All you got to do is score first and hold the ball.
Yeah. I had to tell our guys the other day, I said, nobody in Taps runs an offense like us. They don't have bigs that bang inside the post. Like, I told them, I said, dude, we are the only – if you – the last, like, 12 games, if you go back and look at the stats, everybody has shot more threes than us.
Facts. Yeah. And, like, playing a team that shoots a lot of threes, like, I'll give you a perfect example that high school basketball needs a shot clock. My senior year, we had played this team called Crawford. And it was a really important game because we hadn't beaten Crawford since my freshman year in high school. This is my senior year. Played them at home. And this team was a very conservative team, really old-fashioned team that liked to, you know, run their half court sets and play a 2-3 zone the whole game. So we had scored the first like maybe three possessions. They called a timeout. Our coach makes us go man or whatever, and Crawford sat back in a 2-3 zone. Well, they sat back in a 2-3 zone. We sat back on offense. If they weren't gonna come out and guard us, we weren't gonna try to make them guard us. We didn't have a shot clock, so all we had to do was just, like, you know, move the ball around until we found an open. And we end up – the final score to that game, bro, I kid you not, we won that game by 1 point. Final score was 29-28.
No way.
29-28. I swear to you, when we reported the score to the people who – I don't know who it was. Our coach had told us this, that when we reported the score, they asked us, please give us a final score, not the halftime score. That was a final score. 29-28, bro.
We won a game 20 this year.
That's
crazy. And that wasn't – yeah, and it wasn't even like that. It was just that they were playing that good defense. We just couldn't score. And then when we put their two all-tournament players in foul trouble, mm-hmm. their bench and other starters, they couldn't produce. They literally facilitated the offense through two people.
And
but – I told him, I said, bro, I've never won a game this low and this close before.
Facts. And, like, the crazy thing is about that is we were up in the fourth quarter, like, before they went on, like, a scoring run in the fourth quarter. And, like, they were – it was like, 25-19. I think I remember, like, midway through the fourth quarter. And they scored 9 points. We scored 4 points to end the game, like, you know, on that run. And like, we would have kept them under 20, bro, that probably would have been, you know, that would probably have been, like, record-setting, bro. Like, you know, that shows you how bad, you know, teams would just sit back and take advantage of that. What'd you say, Deshaun? What? Shit, bro. But that's what it is, man. That's what it's just. You need a shot clock here, man. That's all I'm gonna say, dog.
Facts.
But I'm shocked that it's not a shot clock in the state of Texas with the amount of talent that's in Texas, and like the amount of money that comes through the state of Texas. And nice. These high schools out in Texas is, like, so nice, like $2 to $3 million stadiums, all of that. So I feel like with that money, it's enough money to implement a shot clock in the state of Texas. So, yeah, I'm shocked.
I played in bigger high school. I mean, my school was a 2A school, you know, a smaller school. I graduated class of like 40 something kids, and I've played in bigger 2A basketball arenas than, you know, at least two of our conference teams here at Lamar. Like, that's how crazy it is, bro. And both of these teams are in Texas, bro. That's the crazier thing. Like, I played in 2A arenas bigger than, like, our some arenas that we play here in conference in Texas.
But what's crazy is that my gym, we have two goals with two shot clocks on it.
Wow, I did notice that the other day.
Yeah, how are you going to have two goals with two shot clocks on it if there's not a shot clock rule?
Yep, that's the way it is. And I think that's why so many kids rather take the JUCO route, because they're not used to that type of pace at the college, at the Division I level.
Yeah.
And a shot clock contributes heavily to that, to, you know, to developing a faster pace at the game, especially if you want to play at a higher level.
Just imagine being out in Texas back when, like, Julius Randle, Mikey Mitchell, you know, like, playing against those guys in high school, and, like, you want to beat on shot clock.
Yeah.
It's like, you would never be up against those guys. But, I mean, even if you were, like, there's no shot clock. You can literally hold the ball. Like, for instance, my old high school, back when Kamaria played, she's a junior now, they played in districts against this school called Livonia. Ladywood, I kid you not, the final score of that game was 18-15, and my old high school won by 3 points. So it's like they come down, stall like a whole court, like just trying to beat them, because it was Kamaria and it was another girl at the time. Her name was Kayla Brown. They were like the two best players. So I mean, to stop the best people without having a shot clock, and you go up a bucket, just hold the ball, and I mean, that's what they did. But eventually, they got some steals, and they, you know, play some defense. But the other team just sat back in the 2-3.
That's how they just hold the ball, and
we just sat back in the 2-3.
That was literally my coach's game plan. If they don't press up on you, hold the ball. I mean, it won us the game, but, like, at the same time, like, that's not cool, dude. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, I couldn't disagree with the win. You know, I couldn't be mad at the win. I mean, it was a very good win for our program, in Chilton. But at the same time, you know,
Chilton.
Yeah, hey, chill out on my city, bro. But at the same time, though, it's still, you know, kind of iffy though. Like it when I see kids that, you know, just hold the ball and, you know, just take 3-point shots, you know, it's nerve wracking, man. I'm like, please move, like, post up, come on, do something, set ball screens, you know, set a pin down over there, you know, come on, go back door right here on the wing. See, it's hard, you know. It's being, I'm so used to this college pace and the way of the college game is played, that when I look at it, when I look at the high school play, high school players play, I'm like,
right.
But that's the way it is nowadays, and that's how they gotta adapt to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, that's what it is.
That's sad, but it is what it is.
Man, but man, I think we're gonna go ahead and call it a night here at the TKB show, man. I do appreciate, well, speaking on behalf of Trey and Billy, we do thank Deshaun for joining us once more. We hadn't had Deshaun on the show since probably like, you know, August.
Last show was the Syracuse
show.
That was
in August, I think.
Yeah.
And we do appreciate you taking the time out of your day. As busy as it is, you being so famous and all up there on the East Coast.
Big time.
Man, I do appreciate, you know, it's been a while since we did a show, man. Our schedules are so whacked out right now due to finals and, you know, our own seasons and everything. And so I do appreciate Trey, Billy, running it back one more time. And, you know, making it happen, well, like y'all always do, man. With that being said, we'll be back next week with more content for you. We don't know what that is just yet, but we're gonna get right back with you and talk about more, probably basketball, like always, man. But you know, I just want to appreciate everyone tuning in for this episode of TKB Show. And like always, you know, we're going to make it happen.
For sure.
All right.
All right. We out.
All right, fellas.
All right, fellas.